In this very special Christmas episode of My Michigan Story, Life in the Great Lakes State.
My Uncle Walt, who is a typical first generation Polish, he had an accordion. And he was most thrilled about the fact that we were there because he was going to play the accordion. Could care less about whether the weather was bad or not.
Judy Herrick's reward for braving a brutal Michigan snowstorm is some accordion music. Adriana Sanchez's father scares away Santa Claus.
And I would tell them, go to sleep because Santa Claus is not going to come because you guys are awake. And they wouldn't go to sleep.
And a teenaged Susan Lakos is forced to wear a hideous 1980s snowmobile suit.
You're warm, but...
At what cost?
At what cost?
Those stories and a special visit from Santa Claus coming up next on My Michigan Story, Life in the Great Lakes State, the Michigan Christmas 2025 episode. I'm Rob Prince. Many of us hope for a beautiful white Christmas in Michigan each year, but sometimes Michigan grants that wish a little too well. Judy Herrick shared this story of trying to drive through a miserable Christmas blizzard at our November 2025 open mic storytelling event at The Lit in downtown Grand Rapids. Here's Judy.
This point in time in my life, I was living in Grand Rapids, as was my daughter, and she's fairly new coming back to Grand Rapids, but I was single at the time. And we made the decision that we were going to travel to my sister's house, which was in Saginaw. And that's where we were from. So we had a conversation about how we were going to go. And the weather looked a little adverse, but we decided that we were going to go anyway. So this was a day before Christmas. So we decided that we would pile into my car and we would drive to my sister's, even though the weather was looking a little questionable. So as we're probably 20 minutes outside of Grand Rapids, it began to snow, and it began to sleet, and it began to snow even more. And so we decided that we would stay the course because my sister would have been devastated because my Uncle Walt was there as well, and she really wanted us to be there. So we were traveling down the road, and we get on to the drag that was running from west to east into Saginaw, and we can't see a thing. I mean, it was so bad that the snow was caking onto the windshield. So we looked at her and he says, well, we're, you know, halfway there. We've got to continue to do this. So she rolled down the side window and it's, you know, well below freezing and hung her head out the window and watched the white line because that was all we could see. Wow. And there were probably three or four cars in front of us and began to travel at something like 12 miles an hour. And I don't even think we had cell phones at the time. It was that long ago. But we traveled along, and what we discovered was we could watch, and there were like four cars, and we're going so slowly. But what happened was that the cars began to line up, and we could follow as long as Penny could hang out the window and watch the white line. We're freezing to death, and the cars begin to line up, and the first car would travel for, I don't know, maybe 5 miles, and then they'd get off the road. And the next cars, we would come in line. We just decided that we were going to go ahead and do that. So we began, it must have taken us like 3 hours, and we're traveling at 15 miles an hour, and we continued to creep along and creep along. Periodically, we would get off the road. And it was so bad. But we finally got into Saginaw, and we creeped our way into where my sister was living. And, of course, they're all going, we have no idea you were going to show up at this because the weather was so bad. But the interesting thing was my Uncle Walt, who is a typical first-generation Polish, he had an accordion. And he was most thrilled about the fact that we were there because he was going to play the accordion. Could care less about whether the weather was bad or not. So we ended up going into the house. Penny played the accordion because she played the piano. And we were there for a couple of days. So,
wow, lovely. Thank you, Judy.
Come on and dance the Merry Christmas polka. Let everyone be happy and gay. Oh, it's the time to be jolly and deck the halls with holly. So let's have a jolly holiday. Come on and dance the Merry Christmas polka. Another joyous season has begun. Roll out the Yuletide barrels and sing out the carols. A Merry Christmas, everyone.
Judy Herrick. She shared that story at our November 2025 open mic storytelling event at The Lit in downtown Grand Rapids. This is My Michigan Story, Life in the Great Lakes State, the Michigan Christmas 2025 episode. I'm Rob Prince. Parents often tell their kids that if they don't go to bed on Christmas Eve, Santa won't come, and that usually gets some satisfying results. But what are the kids supposed to do when the parents don't follow the rules themselves? Adriana Sanchez shared this story of a naughty parent from Caledonia, Michigan, in April of 2024.
I was mad at my dad because of his fault Santa Claus didn't come to the house.
Okay.
I was seven.
You were 7 years old, and you're mad because... What did your dad do? He told you Santa wasn't coming?
No, because of my dad, Santa Claus didn't come to our house.
What did your dad do?
So.
Was he that bad?
No.
Santa's like, I'm writing off the whole family. I'm not even making the trip down that chimney.
No, it was Christmas Eve night. And it was going to be 12. And you know, Santa Claus comes home at 12 for people. Some people. In my head, it worked as 12.
I give them a range of between 10 and 6 a.m., but really? All right.
Okay. So my cousin, not my cousin. Well, they are my cousin, but they're like old. So don't think of like a small cousin like my age. He's like my dad's age. He came over from Wisconsin, and my dad was super happy to see him. He's a really great friend of my dad. They like grew up together. And they were just having a great time, you know, talking and drinking and talking and drinking a lot more. And they stayed up until 5 a.m. talking.
Oh, wow.
And having fun and just laughing. And I could hear them. And I would tell them, go to sleep because Santa Claus is not going to come because you guys are awake. And they wouldn't go to sleep.
So, oh my gosh, you were like, Dad is ruining Christmas.
Yeah. I know. It's like, I did. I went out and I yelled to them. I was like, go to sleep. And they wouldn't.
Wow.
And I guess they had so much to talk about that they were up till 5 a.m.
Oh my God.
Yeah. And I woke up. All the presents were for mom and dad. None had the Santa Claus name on them.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And that was your dad's fault.
Yep. Santa, if you're out there, I promise I'll be asleep by 12.
As will everyone else in my family.
Yes.
Wow.
And I told my cousin, I was like, because of you guys, Santa Claus didn't come tonight to town. I was good all year.
You wasted it.
You could have let me know, so at least I could have threw a fit beforehand.
All the naughty things I could have done.
Oh, Lord.
Chose not to.
A free pass.
Yeah. Oh, man. That's pretty good.
I mean, we never... Oh, we didn't put cookies out for Santa Claus.
Why not?
We put tamales out.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so hopefully Santa Claus ate pretty good at home.
Oh, well, I imagine he likes the variety.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the tamales were gone in the morning?
Yeah.
Wow.
Adriana Sanchez. She shared that story from Caledonia, Michigan in April of 2024. This is My Michigan Story, Life in the Great Lakes State, the Michigan Christmas 2025 episode. I'm Rob Prince.
He sees you when you're sleeping, and he knows when you're awake. He knows if you've been bad or good, so be good for goodness sake. You better watch out.
You better not cry.
You better not pout.
I'm telling you why Santa Claus is coming to town. You better watch out, you better not cry, you better not pout, I'm a-telling you why Santa Claus is coming.
You mean the big fat man with the long white beard.
He's coming to town.
Would you like to see My Michigan Story live and in person? Well, I'm excited to say we've got a bunch of open mic live events coming up around the state this December. We'll be back at the Hastings Public Library on Tuesday, December 9th at 6 p.m. Then we'll be in East Lansing for our very first ever open mic live event on Monday, December 15th at 6 p.m. at One North Kitchen and Bar's Abbott Road location. Then, just 2 days later, we'll be back in East Lansing at Schuler Books in Okemos on Wednesday, December 17th at 6 p.m. Finally, we return to the Lit in downtown Grand Rapids on Friday, December 19th at 7 p.m. I know that's a lot of events, so you can see them all on our website, mymichiganstory.com. That's mimichiganstory.com. Just click on Live Events, or even better, subscribe to our e-newsletter at mymichiganstory.com and get event details and other My Michigan Story news delivered right to your inbox so you never miss an important update. This is My Michigan Story, Life in the Great Lakes State, the Michigan Christmas 2025 episode. I'm Rob Prince. Winter gear back in the 80s was nowhere near as technologically advanced as it is today, but it certainly looked cool. Well, maybe not to everybody, such as Susan Lakos, who describes the time her family moved to Michigan from Texas, and her parents forced all the kids to wear hideous snowmobile suits during one brutal winter. She shared this story from Manistee in September of 2025.
I moved to Michigan when I was in high school. And
what year was that?
That was 87, that fall and winter. I moved with my family. I have six brothers and one sister. We moved from South Texas, south of San Antonio, to northern Michigan in Manistee. My father worked for Shell Oil Company,
okay.
And he got transferred to, to Michigan. Michigan's so beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I love Texas. You know, when you're from Texas, you know, it's you're proud of to be a Texan.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when we were gonna move to Michigan, my dad sat us all down to explain what was happening, that we were transferring to Michigan, and you know, told us where it is, showed us on a map and everything. We'd never been that far north ever, you know, traveling. And my dad told us, you know, in your lifetime, you're going to travel over the world. You're going to expand your, you know, your knowledge. You're going to visit new places and meet all kinds of people. And he says, the people you meet, never ask them where they're from. Because if they're from Texas, they'll tell you. And if they're not, don't embarrass them by asking.
Wow, that's some homegrown pride.
That's a Texan. That was quite the climate shock, I guess you could call it. Never seen snow before until I moved to Michigan. Never have experienced that. And my parents panicked when winter set in and bought us all snowmobile suits to wear to school. Not a nice coat, not, you know, a snowmobile suit. When you're in girl in high school, snowmobile boots, snowmobile suit.
So how old are you when this happened?
I was 15.
You're 15. You're like just about peak caring about what you look like. And what color, do you remember what the suit looked like?
Bright red. It was bright red. Not even like, you know, red top and blue bottoms. It was all red.
What were the boots?
They were navy blue. I still remember them, believe me.
Because you had nothing else. You owned no other jacket.
No, we had sweaters.
Yeah,
you know.
Right. Yeah, sweater's not going to cut it in winter in Manistee in the 80s when it really got cold, too.
Right. Right. You know, we used to, my birthday's in February. When I grew up in Texas, I remember playing outside with no shoes on, you know? So, I mean, it was nippy. It was like 65, you know? And winter just wouldn't stop that year. It just wouldn't stop snowing. My two older brothers had a Ford Pinto, It was white and orange Ford Pinto, and they parked it out in the street one night. We had a blizzard, and we couldn't find it. We were out with sticks, poking it in what we thought.
You're like looking for an avalanche victim.
I think the street probably starts about here. Let's start poking.
Wow.
But there was also eight of us kids, so, you know, you could clear the sidewalks pretty fast with eight kids, so, mm-hmm. We got cleaned up.
Do you remember what they said when they found the Pinto? It was like, it's here.
Yeah, eureka. Start digging.
So do you remember like a specific day of wearing the snowmobile suit the first time you had to wear it to school?
Yeah. It was in about November. So it wasn't too bad until around November. And then, we got a frost, got some snow.
And so one morning, how does your mom or something say it's the day for the snow?
Some snow gear.
This is the first you hear about. It's the day you have to put it on.
What were you thinking? You're warm, but
at what cost?
At what cost? Yeah, here you are trying to navigate adolescence in a snowsuit. To high school.
Were they kind of those moon boots kind of shoes, too?
Oh, yeah.
Those are great.
The removable liners,
right.
That always smelled so bad.
We used to put bread bags in them because they weren't waterproof.
Waterproof. That's right. There you go.
Do you remember your reception at school? Did you feel very alone, or were there other kids like that?
No. Yeah, my siblings.
You're part of the whole gang.
Yeah. Is there any way to, cut the bottoms off?
So your whole family shows up to school dressed in snowsuits.
Snowsuits, yeah.
Okay. Did that affect your standing in social circles there?
Probably. I guess I fit in with the band kids. I don't know.
Hey, I was a former band kid, I have to say that is totally true.
Yeah. No, it I guess those are pretty good memories, though,
Did your snowsuit make the swish swish sound every time you walked?
Yes. It was like the sound of shame,
There's no way to make that cooler, Matt.
No, it's like, if I go to school early, maybe I can get to my locker and get it off before anybody else gets there, What time do they unlock the doors?
How long did you have to wear the snowsuit?
It was that whole winter.
The whole winter?
Yeah. I remember we went ice skating for the first time, of course, because we'd never,
Can't really do that very well in Texas.
Really
inside,
Texas.
Maybe.
Yeah, exactly. I loved to roller skate. My sister and I and my dad were really pretty good roller skaters, so I was trying to try to be fancy. It's kind of hard to be fancy in a snowsuit. you can't move very freely. So, in a snowmobile suit. It was great for sledding. One of my brothers, we went sledding down this big hill. There in Manistee, there's just one street that was so steep that they would actually close it in the winter and people would sled down it. So my dad took us to the sledding hill. And we were going down, and my brother John went down the hill, and he got up, and he had ripped his snowsuit, his snowmobile suit. And of course, and it was a big rip, and Dad said, "Oh, man, look at this, And I whispered to John, "How did you do that?"
Teach me.
Teach me. Maybe I won't have to wear mine anymore.
How did he do it,
I think he hit a branch, and it ripped,
So you're aiming for branches on the way down.
And then I remember also another time we were wearing it, Dad took us out to this rural road, nobody was on it. We hooked up a bunch of sleds to the back of his pickup truck, and he was pulling us,
Classy.
And of course, I was 15, and he says, I'm going to let you try to drive. So
let you try to drive while your siblings are tied to the back of the truck.
I've got, seven siblings tied to the back of the pickup. And so we switched places, and Dad says, okay, accelerate and all this kind of stuff. And we're going along, and I'm thinking, wow, this is pretty cool. And then my dad says, you're starting to go a little fast. So I slammed on the brake. All my siblings were up under the truck. up past the truck.
They went under it?
They went all the way through. Dad says, let's switch places.
Do your siblings have anything to say to you about your driving?
He said, then don't do it anymore.
What a crazy time to think. Now's a good time for a driving lesson.
On ice, on the snow, you know.
You're not going to hit anything, but something might hit you.
That's right. That's right. Yeah.
But that happened in the snowsuit?
Yes, of course. Probably why I remember it. I guess that's another humiliation in the snowsuit right there.
This is like a magical snowsuit that is like has this incredible power to create permanent memories for you.
It does.
It's like Susan in the Technicolor snowsuit.
Oh, man. Let's don't make a play about that. As soon as I was in band, and as soon as I earned my band jacket, I stopped. I finally had a different coat I could wear, and I never wore that stupid snowmobile suit again.
Probably no one ever been so motivated to succeed in band.
Oh, my God. It's like, this is, I got to get that. I got to win that jacket. I don't care how cold it is. I'm wearing the jacket. Of course, I met my husband in high school, so went to Michigan State, followed him here. And
so your husband dated you despite the snowsuit debacle?
By the time I met him, I wasn't wearing it anymore. So.
Might have been a deal breaker.
Yeah, who knows? Who knows? He never saw me in it. So
I think it's time.
Yeah, really. Hopefully there's no pictures. I love that I'm from Texas, but I love Michigan. I love the state. My dad was right about expanding your knowledge and the people you know and all that kind of stuff.
But he was wrong about the snowsuit.
He was really wrong. You know, it's how kind of them to want to keep us warm.
You know? I'll take frostbite over social humiliation that age.
At that age, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Susan Lakos. She shared that story from Manistee in September of 2025. Few Christmas gifts light up a person's face like a new pet, which is a bold but risky gift to give, as Nick Herrick tells us in this next story about a very special Christmas gift that kept on giving for 13 years. He shared this story at our October 2025 open mic storytelling event at The Lit in downtown Grand Rapids. And full disclosure, Nick is Judy's husband from the earlier story in today's show, and they're both my next door neighbors, actually. It's a small world. Anyway, here's Nick.
We had a 3.5-pound Yorkshire Terrier that passed away in July. And from July through the fall, we talked about, should we get another dog? And we went back and forth. And by the time we got to Thanksgiving, we decided to not talk about it anymore and just let it go. 2 days before Christmas, I got a call from my sister-in-law. And she said, I just thought I'd ask you what you think. I'm going to get Judy a dog for Christmas. And I thought. And she said, well, what do you think? And I said, you've just offered us a life-changing event. Give me a couple of seconds. I said, can you take it back if it doesn't work out? And she said, what do you mean? And I said, well, like a Great Dane, she didn't tell me what kind or anything. She says, it's okay. It's from a dealer and he can, if I want to, I can return it. And I said, okay, let's see what happens. So Judy and I went to Saginaw, that's where she lived, and for Christmas. And Judy was sitting on the floor looking at some pictures and things, and her sister, Jan, came out with one of those great big bags with a snowflake on the side at Christmas. And she reaches over Judy and drops this bag in front of her. And she said, this is your Christmas gift. Judy opened the bag, slammed it shut, and burst into tears. And I thought, if there's an iguana in the bag, this is our gift. We're not taking it back. I hope it's good. So I went over and peeked in the bag. Now, remember, the other dog was 3.5 pounds. There was a 7-pound black lab puppy in the bag. I knew that wouldn't go bad forever. So we asked everybody in the family to give us names for this dog, and we got Noir, Blackie, you know, all the usual names. And her family came up with 37 names for the dog. We dutifully wrote them all down. Then we went to our house for the second part of Christmas, and that's down Northville, and did the same thing with the names. We came up with another 120. So we had these sheets and sheets of names, not knowing what to name the dog. And as we're about to go out the door, my son said to me, "You know, what do you think of Guinness?" And we said, "That's a beer." And as it turned out, that's what we named it because it fit so much to the dog. We were used to a 3.5-pound dog. He was 100 pounds. He didn't know it. He had been the run of the litter, and when they all grew up, he was 15 pounds heavier than any of the rest of them. He was an absolute delight through his life. As we'd walk through the neighborhood, the little kids would come out. You know how usually kids are a little shy. They would just run up to him and beat on him, and he just loved every minute of it. Well, we had him for 13.5 years, and at the end of that time, he just got tired and he had to quit. And I gotta tell you, both of us shed so many tears. But that was a Christmas gift.
That was Nick Herrick. He shared that story at our October 2025 open mic storytelling event at The Lit in downtown Grand Rapids. Thanks so much for listening to My Michigan Story, Life in the Great Lakes State, the Michigan Christmas 2025 episode. Today's episode was edited by myself, Rob Prince. My Michigan Story is presented by WKAR in East Lansing, Michigan.
Whoa, what's that sound on the roof? Could it be Santa?
Ho, ho, ho. Hello there, little Robbie. Since you've been such a good boy this year, I decided to drop by a little early with some extra presents for you.
Oh, wow. Are these what I think they are?
Yep. They're true stories from Michigan told by the people who experienced them.
Oh, boy, Santa. Thank you so much. That's exactly what I wanted this year.
Oh, I know, I got your letter. Now remember, kids, little Robbie can't make my Michigan story without your Michigan story. So if you want to be extra good this year, then get him your true story from Michigan today, and maybe I'll bring you a little something extra under your tree this year.
Golly, thanks, Santa. You're the best.
Ho, ho, ho. Merry Christmas, Michigan. Merry Christmas!